You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. I'm Steve Schwetz. Let's pray to get started. Father, thank you for your word. Would you open our eyes to see your wonder? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let's set off for Ephesians 5.
Now we want today to get back to our text of Scripture. And we'd like for you to turn here to this 14th verse. And I'm going to begin reading there. He says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee. Look carefully how ye walk, not as unwise, but as wise men, buying up the time, because the days are evil. On this account, become not senseless, that is foolish, but understanding, that is being prudent, what the will of the Lord is." Now this is, again, a very wonderful passage of Scripture. And we're here in this section here where we see the engagement of the church. The church is moving toward the day when we'll be brought into Christ's presence. And the church will be presented to him as a bride, as we're going to see in a few moments. But that is something that ought to condition our living down here. And if it doesn't, then there is something radically wrong with our relationship to him, because an engaged girl is apt to give a great deal of attention to the man she's engaged to. A child of God who is looking forward to the day when they'll be with Christ, it's apt to influence their conduct down here. And we saw last time, he said that we're not to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather we are to reprove them. And the thing that we're to do is to reprove them. They're reproved because it's made manifest by the light. Everything that is manifest is light. And I do not believe that you'll be able to win a person by lecturing to them and tell them what's wrong. This idea today that you are trying to straighten out the unsaved man and try to get him to change his conduct. He can't change his conduct. You're not asked to do that. That's not what he means by this. You are not to wiggle your finger under his nose and say to him, "Don't do that. Don't be a bad boy." You let him go right ahead, because you're to be light, and light will always affect darkness, and therefore, by your light, by your testimony. I recall that when I became pastor in downtown Los Angeles, there was a very dear lady there. She was a very dominant character, however. She came to me and told me her husband was unsaved and to remember him in prayer. Well, I took it very seriously, and I remembered him in prayer. And one day she came down and she said, "Well, he comes with me to church, but he's never moved at the invitation. When others go forward, well, he doesn't go forward. And I don't know," she says, "at the breakfast table, I just sit there and cry and talk to him. And then at the evening meal, I just sit and cry and talk to him." You know, I got to thinking about that. I don't know about you, but how would you like to have two meals a day with a crying woman? Personally, I don't think I'd enjoy it, and I'm sure he didn't. And then that gave me the cue, and I said to her, calling her by name, I said, "Why don't you, instead of attempting to talk to him, why not have a moratorium on talking to him? You just don't be the preacher anymore, and don't cry in his presence. You fix him the nicest breakfast you possibly can, and the nicest dinner you can, and be the sweetest person you can, and let's see how that works." Well, she didn't think it'd work, because she said, "We're to witness." But she didn't seem to know what witnessing really was. And do you know that she did attempt to follow it? I don't know how sweet she was, but at least she stopped her blubbering in his presence and stopped lecturing to him. And in less than 6 months, that man made a decision for Christ. I think that was the problem. He was listening, actually, to the wrong preacher. She should not have been preaching to him. She was to be light. And the way light affects darkness is it dissipates it, and not by lecturing to it, and not by preaching at it. Never be able to drive it out that way. And that's what Paul is saying to us. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Reprove them. Convict them. How? He says they're reproved and made manifest by the light. Your very life before them is the thing, not what you're saying. Now, in verse 14 and 17, here he says, wherefore he, God, saith, awake, thou that sleepest. Rise from the dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee. Now, what he's saying here, it's a command to do something that's humanly impossible. How can you awake from the dead? How can you wake out of spiritual death? Well, I think this awakening here is for believers who've fallen into a spiritual stupor. And he says, look carefully how ye walk, not as unwise, but as wise men, buying up the time, because the days are evil. On this account, become not senseless, that is foolish, but understanding, being prudent, that is what the will of the Lord is. Now, what he's saying here is look carefully how you walk. Now, again, there is this injunction regarding the walk of the believer. He's to walk wisely. His walk is to reveal the urgency of the hour and the importance of living for God. I think the entire objective in this walk is to stay in the will of God. Now, when you see a man in a place of business, he's a salesman, and you go in, my, I tell you, he's on his toes. I tell you, he's rather dynamic. Now, if he's a child of God, how is he at other times when he's not in a place of business trying to make a dollar? Is he living for God? How is he on Sunday morning at church? The believer is to walk in the will of God as a train runs on the track. And the believer is to walk in this world as though he belonged to Christ. That's very important. There is this old cliche that you never ask a Texan if he is a Texan, that if he is, he'll let you know it. And if he's not a Texan, you wouldn't want to embarrass him. Well, friends, a Christian ought to walk so he's going to let you know that he is a child of God. Look carefully how you walk. That's important. Now we come to the experience of the church here. And this, again, is very important. The church now should have an experience. And I believe in an experience. But what is the experience? Here it is. Be not drunk with wine, in which is riot or dissoluteness, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Now, this is not a dry discourse against the evils of drunkenness. Although drunkenness was the besetting sin of the ancient world, and it's the besetting sin of the hour, and it may actually be the thing that will destroy America today. But this is not a lecture about that. But Paul actually is making a comparison. He says, don't be drunk with wine. Why? It'll stimulate you temporarily. It will energize the flesh, but it'll certainly let you down, and it leads to profligacy, dissoluteness, and it finally eventuates in desperation and despair and the delirium tremens. That's the direction it'll take you. Now, the child of God is told, don't be drunk with wine, but you're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, this, I think, is the experience. Now, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, I think that you find a correspondence, actually, in the man that's drinking. The man that's drinking is possessed by the wine. You can tell a drunk man. And the Holy Spirit should be the one to possess the believer. This divine intoxication that's needed today. Not excessive emotionalism, but that which furnishes the dynamic for living an accomplishment of doing something for God. In other words, the believer's walk and his being filled with the Spirit are closely related here. He says here that you're to walk carefully, circumspectly, by the way, as we have it. Walk carefully and be filled with the Spirit. They're related. And these are the commands that are given to the believer relative to the Holy Spirit. You're never commanded to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're told that you are baptized the moment you trust Christ. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. How do we do that? By some effort on our part? No. Your faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit regenerates you, and the Holy Spirit indwells you, as we've seen here. The Holy Spirit seals you, and the Holy Spirit baptizes you, puts you in the body of a believer. But now you need a filling of the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, those that were gathered yonder on that day, they had all of these performed for them, but they had to serve. They needed to serve Christ, and that we are told they were filled with the Spirit. And that was the experience that enabled them to witness on that day. Now, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I think, is probably as simple as driving in a filling station, as many of us do. I drive in a filling station, and I say, fill it up. And I think it's to start out in the morning with the Lord and say, Lord, I want to walk today in the Spirit. I can't do it myself. I need your power. I need your help. And that you start out that day by asking for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's something that's dreadfully needed by believers, and that we today are to be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you were filled with the Spirit yesterday and last week, I won't do for today. If I may go back to the filling station again, I drove into the filling station the other day here in Southern California, and a friend of mine that runs it, I said, fill it up. The next day, I came in and I said to him, fill it up. He said, where in the world have you been? Oh, I said, I've been really out moving. I said, I drove down to Yucca Valley. I was down there speaking at a sunrise service, and I had church services, and I've just got back. You see, friends, when you're filled with the Spirit, that means that you will just be doing something for God, walking in the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that you'll have enough for tomorrow. You need another infilling for tomorrow. That old gas tank needs filling up, you see. Now, that's the reason some people can be so mightily used of God one day and feel so empty the next. And I've had that feeling. I'm sure that you have. That means we need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, what will it do? It's going to enable you to walk in the Spirit. And you may stumble and fall, but the way my little grandson learned to walk was by falling on his nose. And he's got a bruised spot on his forehead and on his nose. You know why? He was learning to walk. And the child of God is to get up and try it again, because that's what he does. And one of these days, he's going to be a good walker. And God wants you and me to be that. He wants us to get to the day that when he doesn't have to spend all the time burping us. He wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. Now, when we're filled with the Spirit, what's one of the evidences? Speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And it's a good thing that the Spirit of God said speaking one to another, because of the fact if it said singing, that would leave me out. But this is speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I think psalms are from the book of Psalms. I think all of those were set to music, as many of you saw when we went through the book of Psalms. And hymns were men's compositions on a very high plane for the glory of God. And spiritual songs were less formal than either psalms or hymns. And I don't think they were rock either, by the way. Probably some were composed as the person was singing. I'm not sure, but what that was true in that day. So that you have here this manifestation. It'll bring joy into your life. Now, if I may carry through the figure here of being not drunk with wine, I've noticed in all the motels that we stay in and hotels across the country, they have what they call a happy hour. And that means you go in at 5 o'clock, and if you spend an hour sitting on a bar stool, well, you will be sociable by 6 or 7 o'clock and will be able to go in and be fit to live with for a little while. And I've seen them go in to those places, and I'll be honest with you, they didn't look happy when they went in, and they didn't look happy when they came out either. But they call it the happy hour. Now, I saw this up in Medford, Oregon first, and now I see it in other places. Now, some places are calling it the attitude adjustment hour. Well, believe me, we sure need an attitude adjustment hour. And one of the things that needs to be done is the child of God should be filled with the Spirit that he might radiate the joy of the Lord. John says that one of the reasons that he had written what he did was that our joy might be full. And we might have fellowship with him and our joy might be full. And I think we ought to have a good time. I think that there ought to be fun time in the church. And I don't mean some silly period, but I mean that the joy of the Lord ought to be there. And friends, it can only come through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, will you notice as we move on, he says, giving thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know the other mark is giving thanks to God. Now, when we were in the book of Psalms, again and again and again and again, it was thanksgiving to God, praise to God on a high level. And we don't have enough of that among believers today. Right now, bless all of us. That is, if you feel like, let's just say praise the Lord. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Can you say it from the heart? It's no good just to say it. I heard the other day, there's a great deal of this nonsense going around. Oh, just say to everybody, I love you. Well, that's nonsense. If you don't love them, and if you do love them, you can show it to them, I think, in a little bit better way. Paul speaks here being kind. Don't gossip and manifest it. Don't say it to them, you know. I won't get very far here today, and so I'm going to take just time to tell this very wonderful thing I heard years ago that I think reveals something. The late Dr. Howard Kelly, the great surgeon, and he was also a great obstetrician, and he wrote in the field of obstetrics, and I think that his works were classic among doctors for a long time. He was a great man, and he was a great Christian, wonderful man of God. The story is told that he was taking a walk out in the country from Baltimore, in one of those lovely sections up there in rural area. And he got thirsty, and he came to a farmhouse, and this was back in the old days when these things were acceptable. He went up and knocked on the door, and a little girl came to the door. And he said to her, said, may I have a drink of water? And she looked puzzled for just a moment. She said, well, my mom and my daddy, they've gone into town, and there's no water in the house, and it's out in the well. But says, we got some cold milk. Would you like to have a glass of milk? And so he said, I surely would. So he sat down on the porch, and the little girl went to the spring, and she got a glass of milk and brought it to him, and he drank it, and it was just delicious. And she said to him, would you like to have another? And he said, I surely would. And she went and got him another glass. And then he thanked her, and they went walking on down the road. And he just thought what a lovely little girl she was. And you know, it wasn't many days after that that the little girl got sick, pain in her side, and she was taken into the hospital there of Johns Hopkins. And you know who the doctor was that came in and looked at her? It was Dr. Kelly. And he saw that little girl, and it was the little girl that had given him the 2 glasses of milk. And so he took special care of her, and she had to be operated on for appendicitis, as they called it in those days. And so when it was over with and the time came to take her home, Dr. Kelly hadn't said a word. And the father and mother, the girl, were waiting in the room because it was time to take her home. And they were sitting there in fear and trembling because they really didn't have the money to pay for the operation and to pay for the hospital. And so the bill was presented, and they opened it with fear and trembling. And that was the bill with everything listed there. But underneath it, it was spelled out, and it said, paid in full with two glasses of milk, signed Dr. Howard Kelly. Friends, to me, that's one of the loveliest things. He was a wonderful Christian. And that's the way. You don't have to run around telling everybody you love them. Show them that you love them. And reveal the joy in your life. If it's not there, don't put on a Cheshire smile and look like a Cheshire cat. That's not necessary. The important thing is, be filled with the Spirit. And then there will be thanksgiving in your life. And then, my friend, you can return thanks to God. And you can lift a psalm of praise to Him. And you can manifest the joy of the Lord. And you can reveal love in your life, provided you're filled with the Spirit. By the way, this is very practical. This is down where the rubber meets the road. Why don't you drive in the filling station and tell Him to fill it up?
For information on this ministry, call 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org. Here's Dr. McGee with a closing thought.
Here is something, friends, that we'd like to call your attention to before we come to our study next time, and in light of what we have just said today. To be filled with the Holy Spirit and to walk in the Spirit are actually the same thing. They describe the two aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer for living the Christian life and for serving God in the Christian life. Now, therefore, to be filled with the Spirit, that's passive, and to walk in the Spirit is active, but they are the same thing. Paul uses two figures of speech to describe the same thing, but from a different viewpoint. Let me take it over into a figure of speech that we're acquainted with today. A car today, an automobile, must be filled with gasoline to run on the highway. You must stop and have it filled. And then the car will go on that gas that is in the car, that's been put in the car. Now, the child of God is to permit himself to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he can actively walk in the Spirit or learn to walk in the Spirit. We have already seen that in the Epistle to the Galatians, that the Christian life is something that doesn't come to you overnight. You have to learn to walk in the Spirit. Now, we actually had these brought together in one word that we emphasized when we were there. In the 6th chapter of Romans, it says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. So that the important thing here is an act of the will. And that act of the will is in the word yield. I used to think yield meant, and I'd heard so much about the surrendered life, it's a sort of a blah kind of a thing, you know. But to yield yourself is an act of the will. And Paul uses that same word when in the 12th chapter he's talking about serving the Lord. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, that you yield your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the problem today with the child of God is that he's expecting some great miraculous thing to take place in living the Christian life. He said, well, I yielded myself. What do you mean yield yourself? You really yielded yourself to sin. And the reason Christians are getting in so much difficulty and problems today is because they're actually not yielding themselves to God at all. They are not yielding to Him. They are not walking in the Spirit, if you please. The little girl, when she fell out of bed at night, her mama asked her when she went up and picked her up, when she was crying, put her back in bed, says, why'd you fall out of bed? The little girl said, I think I stayed too close to the place where I got in. There are too many Christians today that have not taken that step of faith and walking by means of the Holy Spirit. He's going to talk about how that's going to affect all the relationships of life And we'll see that next time. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Jesus, name all.
Today's study is always available, free to stream or download, thanks to the generous and faithful investments from your fellow Bible Bus travelers. Just go to ttb.org or download our app to listen again anytime. As always, we'd love to know what's God teaching you.
To WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Well, praise the Lord. I am Minister Gloria Ross, the New Life Assembly of God in Melbourne, Florida. I pray all of you are blessed today, this rainy day, but still this is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. We are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our service times on Sunday are 11 o'clock a.m. sharp. Come and be blessed of the Lord. Now here is Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord. Once again, we thank our Heavenly Father for each and every day, because the Word of God says this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall all rejoice and be glad in it. You shall be glad today that He woke you up and allowed you to see this wonderful day. You didn't have to. He could have allowed you to go on into eternity. But for one reason, and one reason only, He allowed you to see this day so that you can glorify and magnify His name. He is wonderful. I want to pray for my faith partners and radio listeners out there in Radio Land, praise God, or wherever you are as tuned into this broadcast. Everything is wonderful. God is good. His love and mercy endureth forever. We thank Him for it. Most holy and all-wise God, we come unto the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We thank You for this wonderful opportunity. Each and every day that You allow us to see this new day with new mercies, we thank You for it. We ask that Your will be done today. Touch the hearts of the listeners out there in Radio Land, that they would receive Your word and grow in Your grace and knowledge until You come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We want to look at the Word of God today in Ephesians 1. We thank God for the revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ had given unto Apostle Paul, and not only unto him, but to us all who would believe and trust in His wonderful Word. But we must understand that God is no respecter of person, and He loves us just as well, or even just as much as He loved Apostle Paul and all the others that have gone on into eternity. And we thank Him for that. Praise God. So Apostle Paul brought forth this revelation unto us by the Spirit of the living God. He's letting us know, not only us, but the church of Ephesus. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when we can open up our heart and receive God's word. Doesn't matter who's given it to us that's been called by God. We just need to open up our hearts and receive the eternal word. Praise God. Minister Gloria.
Yes.
We're in Ephesians, the first chapter. And I would like for you to read Ephesians 1 and verse 17. And I'll step in when I want to make an explanation concerning the scriptures.
Thank the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and with the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints.
Isn't that wonderful? And Apostle Paul is telling us also in the word here that what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us with who believe? Are you a believer out there today? Well, if you are, then there's great power that operates on the inside of you as a believer. We must believe what the Word of God says. What is the greatness of His power to us with who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? Mighty power. God is all powerful. Praise God. There's nothing that can withstand him or keep him from doing what he says that he would do. Let's look at this again. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, dunamis power? Praise God, where we get the word dynamite from, is dunamis power. Glory to God. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? Not our power, but his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead. Good God Almighty. What kind of power are we talking about? The almighty power of God. When he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above principalities and powers, mights and dominions, and above every name. Hear what I'm saying out there, beloved. And above every name, not only in this world, but in the world to come. Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you today, glory to his wonderful name, that in Romans 8 and verse 11, the word of God tells us, if the power, this power that I'm talking about, if the spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body.
Amen.
And make you alive by that very same power. There is only one power that we recognize as the power of God. The enemy may have a trickle of power, but his power cannot withstand the power of Almighty God. And you today, if you were born again just 15 seconds, you have more power than the power of the enemy. Oh, I tell you, because the Lord Jesus Christ, his spirit dwells on the inside of you. He who raised up Jesus from the dead, that power dwells in you. That's the power of God. Glory to his wonderful name. Let's go back to Ephesians. Praise God. And this power that he wrought in Christ when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all power, principalities, might, and dominion, and above every name.
Amen.
I said every name.
Every name.
Not only in heaven, but in earth. Praise God. This is a name, my God, that has all power. The name of Jesus. You want to read the rest of that message?
Okay. And it says, hath put all things under his feet.
Now, if he put all things under his feet, that's Jesus' feet, and we are his body,
amen,
then it's all things are put under our feet,
yeah, praise the Lord,
as children of the Most High God. Amen. Jesus is the head, and we are his body. And all things has been put under his feet. Go ahead, Minister.
And gave him to be head over all things to the church.
Gave him to be the head,
mm-hmm,
over all things to the church.
To the church.
This is why we cannot run our own programs the way that we want to. We have to check in with headquarters. We have to check in with the head of the church.
Amen.
And let him direct us in terms of what we should be doing as the body. Praise God. But most of us, today we have our own program jotted out where we don't want to deviate from this program. We want to do what we feel that the head wants. But I'm going to tell you today, praise God, the head of the church, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, he is in control of his church. Because he said that. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's what he told Peter. Listen, if we really understood what Jesus was saying, praise God, stop trying to build a church and let Jesus build his church. And he's not putting up no walls, concrete, and all of the other. What he's doing is he's building you. Because you are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are born again. If you belong to him. Apostle Paul says that he that hath not the spirit of Christ is none of his. So if you have the spirit of the living God, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And you are the church. You are his building. And there's no concrete. There's no mortar. There's nothing that's in your life that's making you some church. You are the church of the living God.
Amen.
Amen. You're the church. You're God's building. Praise God. Thank God that you belong to him. That you are his building. So all things has been put under the feet of a child of God. Amen.
Amen.
Under his feet. If it's under Jesus' feet, it's under our feet.
That's right.
Because we are his body. Praise God. We are the representation. We are his hands and his feet and his body. You've never seen a head without a body? We are the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the body listens to what the head says and gives instruction. Your head in the natural telling your body what to do and where to go. You don't see the body moving and doing what it wants to do without the head. The head is in control. Praise God.
Praise God.
Therefore, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ must be in control of the church. Praise God. The church. This is what's going on today, that we as the body must listen to what the head is saying. Praise God. And the head is moving, giving instruction. That's why I want to tell you today, anything that you get ready to do, check in with headquarters.
Praise God.
Check in where Jesus is. Praise God. And say, Lord, what is it that you want done today? How do you want this service to go? Allow me to have the motivating spirit that represents you to be activated in my life, that I can carry out the instructions in which you want done. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
What is the exceeding greatness of the power to us who believe, that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing him to do what he wants to do in our lives? Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, Minister Glory, you want to read?
He said, and which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Which is his body. He's talking about the church.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. That fills all in all.
Amen.
What powerful. Mm-hmm. Apostle Paul was saying. But let me tell you something. This is why we must pray as Paul, Apostle Paul, in his prayer, he was saying that the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, he's asking for something. He said that he may grant unto me wisdom. We must use the wisdom of God.
That's right.
Praise God. Not only wisdom, but he said, and revelation. Not just information, but revelation. And not only revelation, but and the knowledge of who?
Of him.
Of
Lord
him.
Jesus.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that powerful?
Yes, it is.
Glory to his wonderful name. Excuse me. I want to tell you today out there in Radio Land, if you're following your own pattern, doing your own thing, then the anointing is not there. I said the anointing is not there. It's just what you're doing through the energy of your own flesh. And Jesus said the flesh profits nothing. It doesn't profit anything. It is the spirit that quickens. Life is in the spirit of the living God, not through the energy of your flesh. You trying to do things in your own ability. We must depend upon the instructions from headquarters. I want to tell you something in the natural here for a moment. I want to digress for a moment and tell you something in the natural. Listen, as a policeman, headquarters, instructions come from headquarters and tell you what to do. Praise God. You don't just do things on your own. Instructions are coming from headquarters, reaching all of the outlining patrols, telling you what needs to be done. When you call in and instructions are given, it's the same thing from a spiritual standpoint. We must check in with headquarters, Minister Grove.
That's right.
You just can't do what you want. You're out there on patrol. You just can't do what you want to do. And the same thing from a spiritual standpoint, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And everywhere we go, praise God, we are a direct representation of headquarters, the one that's in control of all things. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And when you step out there in the flesh and trying to do stuff on your own, it's not going to work.
Nope.
I said it's not going to work. It never will work. All you would have is just a social gathering. No anointing. And I remember Jesus said, well, if we don't listen to what he's saying, and he's the head of the church, that he'll remove that lampstand.
Yeah.
And that lampstand is removed out of the church. Mm-hmm. All you have is a social gathering. You may have a lot of people there, but there's no anointing there. The lampstand has been removed. And I tell you, you don't want that. You want Christ. Amen. You want him, his spirit, to be moving in everything that we're doing.
Amen. Definitely.
When you pray for the sick, you want them healed. Praise God. You don't want people coming in and going out the same way they came in, troubled in mind, limping, not healed. But when the power of Almighty God is in the place, when the ministers are listening from the instructions that comes from headquarters, the anointing is there. And the anointing is what will destroy the yoke. Not going to break it. It's going to destroy the yoke. And folks will get healed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
We get healed. Praise God. That's why we depend on the Holy Spirit. We don't try to conjure up something to make something look good or try to align ourselves with what somebody else is doing. If God called them to do that, that's fine. But we want to listen to what headquarters instructions are given to us. Lord, fill this place with your glory. Let the wind blow once again in everything that we're doing. Praise God. Just like the day of Pentecost, let the wind blow. Praise God. And folks will get healed. Amen.
Amen.
And that's the most important thing. Folks will get saved. Glory to God. Get born again. You won't have people complaining about, well, I got this. Now I got to leave walking with a cane and all kind of stuff there. If people are walking with a cane and crutches and all kinds of things, listen, then where is the anointing? Yokes are supposed to be destroyed. The anointing does that. It's not you. It's the anointing of God. And God does not want his folks limping around. He wants you healed. He wants you delivered. I was looking at something there just last night, where all the people that came to Jesus, he's in control of everything. He healed everybody.
He healed them all.
That came to him.
Amen.
Amen. That came to him.
Mm-hmm.
We come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Who's the head of the church? We come to him.
Yes.
And he healed all that was suffering, all manner of sickness and disease.
Praise
folks
God.
That were possessed with devils.
Mm-hmm.
sick of the policy, lunatics. I want to tell you, this is what we need in the fellowships that we have. Listen to the head of the church, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he would do, Minister Glory, is that he will set the captives free.
That's what he said. Amen.
I said he will set the captives free. Mm-hmm. You have something you want to say there?
No, I'm just saying that's what he gave us, the Great Commission, that we're supposed to go out to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs, hallelujah,
yes,
signs that follow them that believe in my name, not in our name,
yes,
in the Lord Jesus Christ, shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. All in his name, not in our name. Amen?
Praise the Lord. All those, the supernatural ability, you know, that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as the Apostle Paul was saying in there, but you got to believe what
you got to believe. That's the word believe. It says
you got to believe.
See, shall follow them that believe.
Yeah,
but by faith.
Praise God. But let's go up a little further here. Now go back to Ephesians 1 and let's look at what it says there. It says, after you heard the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But if you heard people experiences and things that they were doing to try to capture your attention, and it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ, then how is this going to take place? You remember, you want to read that? Go up in Ephesians 1 there, and praise God. After you've heard, then you believe. And when you believe, praise God, then that's when the miracle is going to take place. That's when the healing is going to be manifested. Praise God. Because without believing, there's nothing. There has to be believing, corresponding action,
yes,
to what you believe. And Apostle Paul was laying it out to us through this first chapter here of Ephesians 1 there. What is, the question is asked, what is the greatness of his power to us who believe? If you believe, that power is there. Just believe, praise God, what he's saying in his word. Not Apostle Paul's word, but in the word of God.
Amen.
What is the exceeding greatness? The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. Dynamite. Dunamis power.
Holy Ghost.
Working on the inside.
Holy Ghost power. Glory.
Praise God. But when you don't check in with headquarters and you try to do things on your own, what happens? It won't take place.
Nope.
People will come in sick, need healing, and will go out the same way. It's only a social club. It's only a social gathering. But when you listen to headquarters,
yes,
let headquarters give you the instructions concerning what he wants to be done in this meeting, praise God, then all of the miracles and power and everything that he wants will take place and folks will be healed. You know, it's a sad situation when you get a lot of times there are a lot of people together for various reasons, but what's happening is that if you come join yourself together with a local fellowship, and there's spiritual needs, physical needs, and if the man of God is listening to headquarters and receiving instructions from headquarters, not of his own preferences and what he wants to do, but let the head of the church tell him, listen, move under the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
The Holy Spirit. I say the Holy Spirit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Let him take full control in that meeting, praise God.
Amen.
And there will be deliverance. I say today out there in Radio Land that if you are troubled in your mind, if you are sick in your body, you need healing. Jesus is right there where you are. All that you would need to do is to ask him to take full control of your life.
Amen.
Tell him, Lord Jesus, mm-hmm. I come to you the same way all those folks that was sick of the palsy, lunatics, and you people with diverse kinds of diseases, and you healed them. And you are no respecter of person. So now I come to you with the humble spirit asking you to heal me. Jesus would do it.
Yes, he will.
I said he would do it. I pray today for everyone out there in Radio Land that tuning into the broadcast that if you don't know who I'm talking about, it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. He is the one that will do all things in your life if you give him your heart.
Praise God.
Praise God. The Bible tells us that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I say today, call upon the name of the Lord, and he will save you. God bless you all out there in Radio Land. Until the next broadcast. Praise God.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.